So today we have this image of light, even the Alleluia verses, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. And it's very interesting that the first reading today speaks about the Christian prophets. Sometimes we think of prophets as just the guys in the Old Testament. But here we have several of these prophets given a charism of prophecy, and they are worshiping, they are fasting, and the Holy Spirit, pouring his light upon them, is able to share and speak the word of God, saying, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." And this is the very beginning of that very powerful missionary adventure of St. Paul. Remember, St. Paul has his conversion, and then he's speaking locally to those around him, talking about the Christ. But then it says he goes away for a little while into Arabia. He spends time there. He spends a lot of time there, soaking in, praying, trying to understand, what is the Lord calling him to? And so he comes after Barnabas and Saul. They complete this relief mission that they were doing. They come to Jerusalem. They go right to the heart of Christianity. And that is where they receive this very powerful commission to go forward even more. It says that they laid hands on them. They sent them off. That's also an image of, in a sense, like a confirmation. We do that for confirmation. We also do that for ordination. It's that calling upon the Holy Spirit to send forth. And they go forth and proclaim the word of God. And we can hear about a lot of those adventures in his St. Paul's letters as well. But I want to talk about this image of light and prophecy, because they're linked. And even if you look at the beautiful document of the Second Vatican Council, Lumen Gentium, which talks about the church's mission and says that prophecy in a particular way is linked with the very light of Christ that shines a radiance and pushes away the darkness of error, of confusion, and brings clarity. And so each one of us, when we are baptized, we are brought into Jesus's priestly, prophetic, and kingly roles, his offices. And so all of us are called to this call of being prophets. Some of us might be given a particular charism of prophecy, sort of an intensification of that. And all of us, though, are called to receive the light of Christ, and in such a way, radiate that light of Christ out to be leaven within our world, in our workplace, in our home, in our marriage, in our friendships, in our parish, to be able to live in the identity of being a beloved son or daughter of the Lord. And when we are in that identity, then the radiance shines. It's kind of like an electric switch, battery, or something like that. It's not going to radiate unless there is power aligned so that that power can come in and let the light bulb shine. So we have to be aligned in our identity of being sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father in Christ. And I want to give you a beautiful image. It actually comes from literature, comes from fantasy literature of The Lord of the Rings. And it's a very powerful way of understanding how the enemy works and how Jesus as the light of the world works. So I don't know if you've read it or not or seen the movies or so, but it's a very famous work. It's considered one of the greatest of the 20th century by J.R.R. Tolkien. And there is one character in it She is a shield maiden of Rohan, this horse riding people. So she's kind of like a warrior princess, I guess you can say. But because of different things that happen within their culture, her gifts were in a sense put aside. And the gifts of women to have this valor in a sense. And so she goes off to war, but she covers over her femininity by taking on the guise of a male soldier. She hides her golden hair, she hides everything about her, and she goes off. One of the things is just it's part of the famous literary disguise of the hidden soldier that comes forth. But there's something deeper there. There's a wound that she has where she doesn't see the beauty of her identity in her femininity. Her culture has said femininity is weak and it should just be put aside. There's no valor in it. So she goes off saying, in order for me to fight, I have to fight in a sense as a masculine. And so she's not living in her identity of being a true daughter and the power of that tenderness there. So then she encounters this evil being called a Nazgul. And this evil being was at one point a man, but because of wickedness, because of selfishness, he in a sense hollows himself out. And so he is unbeing. He's a black hole. And anything that he touches, he sucks that light to make it get gobbled up. And so when he comes, and this is how the enemy works, the enemy can never create. He can only take something like a vampire or like a spider and in a sense hollow it out from the inside, injecting venom that then liquidates everything inside the creature, the prey, and making it just a shell, because that's what he is. So he starts doing this to all the men who are around, who are trying to fight, taking away their courage, in a sense sucking away their masculinity, in which they are just shells, in a sense, there. They can't do anything. And there's even this little hobbit, his name is Merry, and he can't do anything. It says he's paralyzed by the screams of this monster and also by just the presence of this monster that's sucking light into a black hole. Until this warrior princess, Eowyn, she comes forward and she stands between her fallen king, the uncle, who has fallen, and this evil being is trying to destroy him. She comes there and says, you have to get through me. And this monster says, don't you know, no living man can kill me. And this is what she does. She takes off her helmet. She allows her glowing yellow hair to sparkle in the sun. She's able to reveal tears of vulnerability, but they're the maternal strength of caring for those who are weak and vulnerable. And so there's a strength in allowing her maternity to shine forth, her femininity to shine forth, her physical beauty, but it's also revealing an inner beauty of strength. And she says her name. She says, my name is Eowyn. I am a woman. And in doing that, she comes into her identity again. She doesn't continue to live the lie, but she becomes linked into her identity as being a daughter, a woman, feminine. And she renounces the lie that her femininity is weakness. And when that happens, there is this radiance that a theologian, his name is von Balthasar, would say, when someone is linked in with their calling, their vocation, who they are, and the depth of their being, radiance shines forth. This prophetic radiance shines forth. And it's very much the very light of Christ that has been placed within each one of us. As we live out our vocation, our little light becomes brighter because it's actually linked to the one true light. Just like our little Easter candles, they become bright only because of the light of Christ. The Easter candle, in a sense, radiates forth and ignites all of the little candles. And when we are living our vocation out, and this deep vocation, like we have the vocation of the priesthood, religious life, marriage, these different vocations there, but even our vocation of living out our masculinity, our femininity. And in our world today, this is one of the areas that's under attack. We have different movements that are saying there is no distinction. There is merely just this kind of neutral humanism that now is even saying, now with AI and different things like that, maybe we can just rise above our biological humanity because maybe all that we are is just a mind. And so then we get into what's called transhumanism. And so it keeps going more and more and more. And it's not going to end well unless we go back to this call that we are created in the image and likeness of God as male and female. And that's something that's not irreducible. And so this is that prophetic call in the deepest sense of what that means, is to come under the gaze of our Heavenly Father and to not hide the gift that He's given us that's revealed through our body. Our body is not just a machine and it's not just secondary. We are embodied persons. That's what makes us different than an angel. An angel, and sometimes we say, oh, you know, when I get to heaven, I'll just be a little angel. It's like, well, no, actually, you'll be a human forever. Angels are cool, but they're not us, and they're never going to be us, because our body will be glorified and brought to heaven as well if we are allowing the light of Christ to shine forth from us and we stay connected to that light of Christ. Then He will take our lowly bodies and make them like His own, glorified, and we'll be able to reign with Christ in heaven as an embodied person. And that embodiedness is masculinity and femininity. And it's going to be beautiful just to see how those deep, irreducible aspects of living human existence, they're going to shine out even more. Just like if you hear a chorus, hear madrigals, hear a chamber choir, and you have the feminine voice and the masculine voice, and they lift each other up in such a beautiful complementarity. If the masculine voice is just by itself, it's going to be dark and brooding. If the feminine voice is just by itself, it'll be shrill without something to anchor it in. But when the two of them are together, they image the Trinity, because when notes are so perfectly aligned in harmony, you can even hear a third note that's called a ghost note that just comes from this, their beauty of being fully united. And that is the image of the Trinity, that we will be singing forever this beautiful hymn of praise, not just as a sort of neutralized humanity, but in our masculinity and in our femininity. Now, going back to that story of the Lord of the Rings, when she reveals the truth of who she is and allows the radiance of being to shine forth, it stops the Nazgul in his tracks. He kind of pauses for a moment, and then it also wakes up Mary, the little hobbit. Because remember how the enemy pulled out through lies, pulled out his strength and his masculinity, and just made him paralyzed so that he couldn't rush to the aid of those in need. Very much like how Adam in the Garden of Eden, when Eve is trying to fight the serpent on her own, Adam is just paralyzed. But here, because of that beautiful gift of femininity, Mary sees the beauty of femininity shining forth, and it wakes him up. It allows him to rise to the occasion, to pull out his sword, and to fight the Nazgul in such a way that he distracts the Nazgul, and then Eowyn is able to defeat that Nazgul. So masculinity coming alive, femininity shining in its radiance of being, together, the unbeing of the enemy is no match. Just as at the foot of the cross, you have Mary and Christ, and this beautiful working together of new Eve and new Adam to bring forth this powerful gift of the new humanity coming forth from the side of Christ in the Holy Spirit and in the birth of the church. So the Lord says, I came into the world as light, and everyone who believes in me might not remain in darkness. Let's ask that the Lord wake us up, also through the beautiful gift of the radiance of Christ, the divine mercy shining forth in our darkness, but also the beautiful image of his mother who comes to us to open up the tenderness within our own heart so that we might receive the light of Christ and not remain in darkness. What Jesus says here is he says, I'm pouring out light, but you have the choice whether to accept it or not. You have the choice whether to live in your identity or not. And it's very sad where it says, you have the ability to say, I prefer darkness. And the Lord says, I don't condemn anyone. But you have to say yes. You have to thirst for me. Just like in the book of the prophet Isaiah, whoever thirsts, come to the water. But if you're not thirsting, you don't really desire to come. And you just stay where you are. So let's ask the Lord that we develop through the Holy Spirit this thirst to come and bathe in the light of Christ so that he might realign our identity to really live out our embodied existence as sons and daughters of the Father, that we might be able to see through his eyes the love of the Father shining his light upon us, just as he perfectly shined upon Christ, the very light of the world, and that in his light we might see light itself.
Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you. Please follow or subscribe to this podcast to receive the latest episodes and updates. If you have been blessed by this podcast, I invite you to leave a review. Reviews greatly improve our podcast ranking and will help spread this podcast to other people throughout the world. Are you enjoying this podcast? I invite you to listen to more shows brought to you by the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Join us daily for enriching spiritual content which will help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. Simply visit divinemercyplus.org for a complete list of our shows. That's divinemercyplus.org. Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you.